this is Christy Whitman, and I'd like to welcome you back to Divine Manifesting, and I'd like to welcome my co-host back to the show, Rebecca Grotto.
Hey, Christy. Hey, everyone. It's good to be here talking about yet one more of my favorite subjects, and that is, Christy,
the Law of Allowing. So I just wanted to do a quick review because the Law of Allowing is a very essential law when we're trying to create what we want. And this law is the principle of least action or no resistance. And when you apply the Law of Allowing, you will have absolute freedom in your life. You'll feel free in your relationships to be who you are. You'll feel free in your career to do what you want. And you will feel free in your life to create whatever you desire. So just as a review, the most powerful law in the universe is the Law of Attraction. And this law states that that which is like unto itself is drawn. When bad things happen in your life, it seems that everything starts to go wrong. When you begin your day on a positive foot, the rest of the day is a positive one. Thoughts attract to one another and gain power the more you think of them. The more you focus upon expands. And that is what manifests, is the direct proportion or direct reflection of what you've been thinking and feeling. The second of these laws that we discussed last week is the Law of Deliberate Creation. And this law states, that which I give thought to, I begin to attract. That which I give thought to with emotion, I attract more quickly. As you expect to receive what you think about, you will get. And when you give a thought to something you desire with an expectation or a belief in it, or having faith in it, you are then in a place of receiving it. And that's where the Law of Allowing comes in. So we're going to talk today about two different ways to apply this law. The first way is to allow others to be as they are. And the second way that we can allow or receive is from the universe to deliver all that we desire. So you have any comments on that, Rebecca, so far?
No, that sounds actually great. And I think it's one of my favorite laws because it really pulls from us that whole space of surrender, which I love. But I'll let you, I don't want to jump ahead, so I'm going to let you, jump in and explain that a little more, and then I'll come in.
Absolutely. Rebecca is the queen, by the way, of surrender. She's one of my biggest teachers in just allowing things to happen, and taught me the whole principle about ease and effortlessness, and which is definitely how I choose to live my life. It's when you are living and applying the Law of Allowing, you are in the place of no resistance. And what is resistance? Well, resistance is those negative emotions that we stay stuck on. Last week we talked about how emotions aren't good or bad, they just are. But the problem is when we stay stuck in them and don't move through them, that's where it can pose a problem. So when you have resistance like disbelief or lack of faith, or even Rebecca and my book, The Fairest One of All, competition, when you are in resistance, envy, jealousy, anger, blame, frustration, those things, it's impossible for you to allow people to be who they are or to allow the universe to deliver what you want.
Yeah, I often I often think of the opposite of the Law of Allowing as our controlling mind. I mean, really what the controlling mind does is it takes us from such a state of contentment with all that is. You know, a phrase that I often use in my life is, you know, living life such as it is without trying to control it or shape it. And I think, you know, really quite often, that's exactly what we're trying to do, is we use our minds to control our lives. And we then sort of release that part of ourselves that is sort of the current. We fight the current or the river, and we're trying to, you know, designate where we're going to go, how we're going to get there, what it should look like. And that part of us that is constantly trying to control is really stressing us out. I mean, it's sort of it draws to us all of these consequences of anxiety and depression when we don't get what we want and it's not exactly as we thought it should be. And so, you know, when I think about the Law of Allowing and I try to get myself in that state, really the opposite of that is controlling and the part of me that is constantly trying to control my universe. So, yeah,
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know me, I used to be the queen of that because, you know, I wrote the book on perfect pictures, and that's exactly what it's the opposite. Perfect pictures is having perfect pictures, wanting things to be exactly as you think they should be and they have to be perfect, is the exact opposite of the law of allowing. And I have actually a really good example of this that I'd like to share that has to do with when you're bringing in what you want from the universe. I actually finished up one of my coaching, you know, I do one-on-one coaching sessions, and I also do group coaching sessions. And one of the coaching sessions or classes that I concluded with last night was the one on how to attract your soulmate, how to attract your perfect life partner. And one of the women in the class, she said to me at the very beginning, she said, you know, I'm in this place where I really feel like he's, like I have no doubt that he's coming in my life. I totally feel on an energetic level like I'm connected to him. And I get to a place where I'm like, ooh, all excited. And then I go to the opera and I think, oh, I'm going to meet him here. And then what happens is I don't meet him. And then I start doubting that it's ever going to happen. And she said, I watch myself do this where, you know, I'm going out for dinner with a friend and I think, oh, I'm going to meet him tonight. I know it. And, you know, then the night comes and goes and she's just like, you know, where did he go? You know, where is he? This isn't working, blah, blah, blah. And it's really about allowing the universe to decide when the perfect timing is. And the story that I have for myself when I met my partner, Frederick, I was a girl that lived in California, and, you know, I had really decided what I wanted in a partner, got very, very clear, you know, set my intention and did all the little steps, you know, to make sure that I was using my contrast as clarity and all that. And I came up with a pretty good list of things that I wanted, and I did the meditation practice that both Rebecca and I teach that we've been trained in is the light body. I did all the light body techniques to really attract Frederick into my life, and I really felt him on an energetic level. I felt that he was coming, and I felt like he was already in my life without him actually being in my life. And what happened was my path, because I was focused on my path led me to move to Philadelphia and go to a conference in New York. It was a self-help motivational conference in New York. And he literally was standing right in front of me. And the group had said, okay, find a partner. And he turned around with his beautiful French accent and said, would you like to be my partner? And I couldn't have planned that or orchestrated that in any way, shape, or form. I mean, how can a girl from California and a man from Montreal end up in the same place, in the same line, at the same moment, needing a partner, and him turning around and asking me? So it's, you know, I know during that process when I was wanting to bring him in, I would go to a bar and think, oh, maybe I'm going to meet him tonight. Maybe that's him. Maybe that's him. You know, trying to put my pictures on when was the right time. And ooh, in my estimation, in my controlling ways, tonight is the night I'm going to meet him. And we always have to remember that the universe has a broader view for our life. The universe knows when is the actual perfect time. And, you know, we don't always know that.
Yeah, and as you're telling that story, it makes me think of, you know, an old expression that I think Deepak Chopra uses, that, you know, we plant a seed. Let's say we're planting sunflower seeds. And what we do is if, you know, we then are supposed to have faith that these seeds will eventually sprout and grow and eventually become a beautiful sunflower. You don't find too many gardeners planting the seed and each day going back and unearthing it to see if it's really going to grow. Did it really take hold? Is it really going to grow? Really, if we do that, what we're doing is stopping the process, right? I don't know how many, too many seeds that will continue to sprout if we keep unearthing them. And I think that's what a lot of us do, though, is we put out that intention, like you did, Christy. You put out this intention to meet this man. And then what we need to do is we need to plant it and let it go and have tremendous faith in the universe that it will eventually spring forth from the earth and become that which we want it to become. But I think that controlling part of our mind oftentimes makes us go back, question that it's really there, it's really coming to us, and we end up canceling out that original intention or mock-up by unearthing our desires all the time. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. It's Abraham Hicks talks about that, where you're driving down the road and you see this shiny, beautiful red new car and you're like, ooh, but then you go, but I can't afford it, and that I'm not deserving of it, and you completely negate your whole entire energetic creation of it because you're bringing in the resistance of it.
Right. So you're unearthing your seed that you keep planting, and then we get tired because we keep planting all these seeds and we wonder why they're not coming to fruition. But I think the point is that once we plant the seed, once we set our intention, we need to learn to allow it to come into us. We need to have that faith that it will come eventually on its own time, at the perfect time, and no matter how much our controlling mind wants to orchestrate it, we can't do a better job than the universe. So the law of allowing really is about relaxing and allowing life to be such as it is. And sometimes we can't understand it, and we don't, I know that part of my ego mind always thinks it can control it just a little bit better than God, than the universe.
Yeah, of course.
But that's always funny when I catch myself thinking, you know, I got it from here because I think I can do it better. That's the part of me that, that's the part of me that needs to come back and say, well, maybe if I just practice allowing, a universe that has created such wonders probably can do things without me. But, it is a practice, because I think especially, for most of us, we've been very conditioned also to improve things. You know, we're very conditioned in our world to have more and to constantly be in a state of improving what we already have. And so I think that also gets in the way of our relaxing and allowing things to just be as they are. I mean, there's always that sort of inner drive to make it better, get more, have more, get that boyfriend quicker, figure out a way where we can, make it happen sooner. And so I think we're very conditioned to be there, and it's hard for us, especially in Western culture, to really sit back and learn to let things just be such as they are. So
Absolutely. That's
that part that I was talking about earlier, of really training our minds to be very surrendered and, surrendered in the moment, learn to let things go, learn to let them be as they are, and almost allow ourselves to be very childlike in our wonder of, oh, I didn't expect it to be like this, or, oh, I thought it was going to look this way, but evidently it's looking this way. For most of us, we get really irritated when it doesn't go the way we think it's going to go. So the law of allowing...
We're very attached.
Exactly.
We're very attached to those pictures of how it needs to look and what it needs to be like and when it needs to happen. One of the things I was going to tell our listeners is that in September, you and I are going to be starting a six-week course on basically this whole topic, one of the many topics that we're going to teach people how to do is how to have faith. And, this is obviously a lot more information that we can give our listeners in an hour, because we can really dive in deeply and really teach people how to change their minds and really develop from a place of having faith and trusting that we don't need to control. As a therapist, you've been a therapist for what, 25 years now?
25 years, yes.
Yeah,
I'm dating myself, because the listeners thought I was really, really young. So I'm dating myself
a lot.
Okay, now hopefully the listeners are saying, oh, she's just wise. She's not old. She's just wise. But yeah, go ahead, Christy. You were saying as a therapist? 25 years.
Yeah, Yeah, 25 years.
Uh-huh.
You're so young. She started when she was about four,
being a therapist. That's right.
Six. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what I was going to say is, control, I know I see a lot with my coaching clients, and I think that the part of having faith is the fact that we feel we need to control. And, would you touch on that for a little bit, why we feel we need to control and why it's so hard for us to release that control?
Yeah. I mean, real briefly, I think that, again, I blame our Western culture. I think we're very conditioned to be sort of the masters of our universe. I mean, we really just have this egoic part of ourselves that, our ego mind, which thinks it is the biggest thing on, it thinks it's really all that is. And so you know, I think that we tend to feed into that ego mind, and we, on the other hand, forget that there is really a part of ourselves that is so much bigger. There is a part of ourselves that is really controlling the show. I once heard it put that, you know, our ego minds are like, think of a carriage, a horse-drawn carriage, and there's always that guy that sits up at the front, kind of directing, holding the reins to the horses, directing the horses. That's our ego mind, and it thinks it's really running the show. But as we begin to awaken that spiritual part of ourselves, you know, the little window to the carriage opens up, and within the carriage, our spirit leans out and says, oh, driver, can you please direct the horses to go over here? Well, that driver, that part of our ego mind who has always been in charge and thinks it's in charge, really does not like to think that there is something bigger. And the part of us that is bigger is really the part of us that is connected to sort of that larger flow, the divine flow, you know, the universal energies. It wants to really see itself as separate. And so, again, the ego mind is the part of us that is very controlling. It's the part that doesn't want us to know there is something bigger than us. It really, it's like that little two-year-old who thinks it is master of the universe. And so I think we are very, very attached to controlling not only ourselves, but we're very attached to controlling the world around us. But wouldn't you say, Christy, because I think this is probably one of the number one subjects I work with clients, when they come to me and they say they're seeking contentment, they're seeking peace of mind, you know, they're seeking a general well-being in their life that they don't feel they have. You know, for me, the clue is that they are not allowing, because the minute we start to attach ourselves to that part of us that is within the carriage, the spiritual part, and we start to kind of relinquish control from the ego, we really do start to find that sense of contentment. I think that when we are really allowing and sort of just being in the flow of things happening such as they will happen without us trying to direct them or control them, we really start to feel that little, you know, spring of, you know, wealth of, you know, well-being within us. Don't you think, Christy? I mean, times in your life when you think...
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say it's really a balance of being able to come from a place of, you know, setting what your intention is and really, you know, desiring what you want. But when you are, as you say, you know, with the thing in the carriage, when you really allow your spirit to take over, what I do a lot with my coaching clients, and, you know, of course you know this because light body, is when you get in a place where you're connected to your own being, your own soul, your wants and your desires are different because they're not as egoic, they're not as...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just a different kind of, it's not personality to personality type of stuff. It's more of, you know, how can I serve? How can I, what's going to truly fulfill my heart's desire? And it's not to say that you can't attract money or you can't attract success or you can't attract any of those things, because that is, when you are in a place of being in touch with your spirit, you are in that place of total abundance, and all that stuff just flows anyways. It's the effect, not the cause. And I guess that's the difference, is when you're in your ego, you think that the money and the success and the house and all that kind of stuff is the cause, when it truly is just the effect of
right.
when you're in alignment with spirit. So, it's just everybody...
Go ahead, finish. Oh, I was thinking as you were talking, we move from spirit, we desire things, and we still can put out our desires, but it's not a need. There's a lack of control there. I mean, as spirit, we can definitely be, you know, deliberately creating. We can be setting our intentions. But then there's the second part to that, which is releasing it. And whenever I think
exactly.
of the process of manifesting, I do think we have deliberate control or deliberate intentions that we set out there. And we can direct the course of our desires. But the next step is to then relinquish them. You know, so we will create a picture in our mind of what we want, and then we need to let it go. We need to, you know, send it out and have it come back to us without any attachment, that it will come to us at the perfect time, as it should be, you know, And your example of meeting Frederick was perfect. You know, I think that you would have suffered so much if you were constantly trying to figure out how to make this thing happen. But because you were so surrendered, here in the most oddest of circumstances, you meet him in New York, this man from Montreal. Who would have thought that that's the way it would have come back to you? So I think that in that process of manifesting, it is so important that we realize that the second step to that, after we set our intention, is to let it go. It's not to hold on to it and control it and keep unearthing it. And I think that's where so much of our discontent comes in, our dissatisfaction, our sorrow and our suffering, because we're always disappointed because it doesn't look the way we want it to look. It was supposed to be
right.
This way. And, yeah, so I think on an emotional level. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this, just playing kind of devil's advocate, you know, all the teachers of The Secret and, you know, everybody that's talking about the law of attraction, they're talking about, well, you need to constantly be, you know, focused on the goal, and you need to constantly be, you know, looking at the vision board, and you need to be, you know, writing out your this, and you know, they kind of give all these different examples of, you know, doing your visualizations and all that kind of stuff. You know, and those are important tools that you can use to what I call raise your vibration, so that you're in alignment in that place where you feel like, ooh, it's coming, and, you know, when you're thinking about it, you're thinking about it in a positive way. But how can you switch from doing that to then just letting it all go?
Well, I think there's the point where we need to be focused on what we desire, so we have to have clarity but not control. Clarity is knowing what we want, but I think there's always that second part to it, if it's meant to be. I mean, I think that, you know, whenever I'm putting out an intention, I'm very clear of, I would love to see this happen if it's for my greater good, if it's meant to be.
Exactly.
And that instantly locks me into, I don't have the vision of what's around the corner. All I can see that is in this moment, I know what I think I want, what I desire, but there's something greater than me, even if we want to call it just a spirit, you know, within my spirit, there's something greater that can see around the corner. And so when I ask for what I want, it's always with the caveat that if it is for my greatest good. Does
yeah,
that make
and
sense?
I always say,
and that's part
oh,
of
absolutely.
Clarity versus control, because if I was controlling it, a part of me would be saying, I want this and I want this now. And you know, be careful for what you ask for, because you may just get that. So I think, you know, when you're asking about how do we learn to stay focused on what we desire and really focus on it and raise our vibration, part of raising our vibration is that surrender. We can get excited because we're no longer controlling it. We're no longer desperate that I gotta have this, and if I don't have this, I'm gonna be so miserable. I mean, that's not fun, and that's not raising your vibration. It's really about
right.
how exciting, if this is meant to be for me, and if this is, you know, for my greater good, I'm ready to receive it. That's sort of the difference, and I guess I would just keep coming back to the words having great clarity of what we desire, but not control. It's clarity
Absolutely.
And surrender, clarity and surrender. Yeah.
Absolutely.
A little difficult.
Yeah, it's a practice. It's definitely a practice. It's a mind training, like we've been talking about. I mean, people say to me all the time, I know my friends are like, God, you're the most positive person I know. And it's like, well, thank you. That's a great compliment. But I wasn't always this way. I had to, you know, really work on myself to train my mind, to get in touch with my spirit, to do the things that I needed to learn how to do, you know, hiring coaches, going to seminars, to be able to get more in touch, of course, going to therapy, that kind of stuff, to get in touch more of who I am as a spirit, and to allow my spirit to run the show instead of my, you know, my ego mind. And, you know, it's not that I'm okay, I'm now perfect and I'm always positive and never have a bad day. That's totally unrealistic. I mean, and it doesn't matter if you're David Beckwith, Jan Canfield, Deepak Chopra, everybody has things that happen. It's life. And it's just how you deal with those things, how you train your mind, and it's how you manage your own mind.
And how quickly you come back to center. I think that's
exactly.
The key is we're all going to be pulled off center. The goal is how quickly are you going to come back? How quickly are you going to get a hold of that reactive mind and bring it back? And I think in terms of what we've been talking about, Christy, all of this applies also to allowing in relationships, and that's a question so many people ask me, you know, because I'm really such an advocate of, you know, being very clear in a relationship of what you need, asking for what you need, negotiating, but I'm also, you know, huge on telling people, you know, really work on allowing your partner the freedom to be where he or she needs to be, to have their life lessons. And so, you know, that can become confusing for people also, because it's like, well, do I ask for what I need, which in essence is changing your partner, or do I just allow them to be where they are? And I think it can get confusing, and it's not always so clear-cut, but I think the bottom line is, just like when we are trying to, you know, focus on our intentions and yet be, you know, surrendering them, the same applies in relationships. Yes, is it okay to ask for what you need and to negotiate with your partner? But I think what's also very clear is to some of the best relationships that I've ever been in, or that I can coach people into, you know, working on, is when they are really sitting back and allowing their partner to be just where their partner needs to be, whether that's parents with their children or, you know, couples. When we can just sit back and say, you know, is it okay for your partner to be grumpy, or is it okay for your partner to be exactly where they are in this moment without you becoming reactive to that? It's a gift for your partner, but, you know, the bottom line is, from a selfish perspective, we just feel a lot better when we're not trying to get our partner to do something or be something other than who they are. You know, when we're just really happy with, you know, life such as it is, in my old favorite expression. So, yeah, are you with me on that, Christine?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it accounts for both if you're bringing something in from the universe or if you are in a relationship. The way I always say it's like being in the place that you're at, and, you know, even if you're, like, thinking about manifesting something that you have asked the universe for, it's being in the place you're at, feeling grateful and appreciative for where you are, but yet desiring for another thing and getting excited about that desire coming to fruition. It's the same way in a relationship. It's being grateful and appreciative and happy within yourself, knowing that, you know, your partner is not the source of your happiness, and if he does X, Y, and Z, or she does X, Y, and Z, then you're going to be happy. It's really coming from a place of being content, fulfilled within yourself, connected to who you are, connected to your spirit. And when that is in that case, when you're in that place, the things that your partner does, of course, if they, you know, go over boundaries or they do something to hurt you, that's a different, it's a different story. But you don't get swept up with them because they're not the source of your pain, of your, you know, happiness, of all of that. They're just not your source. You're your source. And if you can recognize that and be connected to yourself, they don't have as much emotional effect on you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I'd even take it a step farther. I actually think we end up getting more of what we want when we're not trying to control or, you know, define our partner. Wouldn't you say that, Christy, that you end up getting really so much more of what you want when you're very neutral? You still ask for what you need, but you're not doing it from a place of, if you don't, I will. You're not threatening. You're not blackmailing. You're just really saying, hey, would you please, or you know what I would really like. And that ends up getting you exactly what you want. So maybe on a larger picture, that's how our mock-ups come into our intentions. When we're really not that attached to them, when we're in a neutral place, we can still focus on what we desire, but we're just really not attached. We're allowing it to end up being what it is. So I think, yeah, such as, you know, whether it's our intentions or whether it's our relationship, it kind of all works the same, you know, with focus on what you desire and then let it go. Allow it to be exactly as it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have a quick example. I always love to give examples, and I always use myself as, you know, like, as a, pretty much an open book, so I'll just go ahead and share this. I was having some, you know, I absolutely love and adore Frederick. He's an amazing partner, and he is, one of the things I love about him is that he is very, very active, and he loves to play hockey and play golf and play poker, and, you know, he's got his guy friends, and, you know, he's very successful in his business, and he's driven, and, you know, these are all the qualities that I wanted in a person. And sometimes, though, he gets because he's so fun to be around and he always is, wherever he's at, he's having a ball. I mean, he's just so in the present moment, just so into what he's doing. And so people love to be around him. He's got a very attractive nature because of that. And so he's always getting invitations to play more golf or, you know, do more golfing stuff or, you know, play poker or, you know, come here for dinner or do that or that, do this. And he's had a lot of things going on in his life right now. As so do I, but recently it's kind of like for me has gone over that balance of whoa, you know, you're like gone all weekend playing golf. What, you know, what about me kind of thing? And I had to come to him, like you're saying, and say to him, you know, this isn't okay for me. I feel like it's out of balance, and you know, I want to know that I'm a priority as well, and this is how I'm feeling, and you know, but I let it go. I was true to myself. I stayed within my own self and was true to how I was feeling. Told him and explained my needs, not in a way that was like, now you need to change and you can't do this and no. I just allowed him to be who he is with what he'd wanted and, you know, in all that. But I explained to him in a loving way what my needs were. And, you know, he literally called me like the next day and said, here's the thing, we're having this whole weekend to ourselves. Somebody asked me to play golf, but I turned him down. And you know, I am going to play this day. But it's like he opened up the weekend so that it was a beautiful balance that I am now knowing that, wow, I am a priority to him. I am important to him, and that he's able to find that balance, that he's not just doing, you know, all the things that I like, golf and poker, but he's including me in his life as well. And because
I'm ask you
such,
something, Christy?
Yeah.
What allowed you to allow? So I think just for our listeners, I mean, I'm thinking somebody may be out there going, well, how did you get there? How did you get to the mindset of allowing him to
he is? I'm glad you asked that question because I really was very present when I was telling him what my needs were. And I wasn't coming from a place of, oh, my God, you need to change, or, oh, my God, you know, if
my
he doesn't change.
My happiness depends on it.
Yeah. I was in that place of just being very clear that this is what I need for me, and, you know, I just got to a place where it's like, you know what, what he does is not going to determine my happiness. I'm a happy person anyways, and as much as I love him and as much as I've invested in this relationship and as much as I want to continue the relationship with him, if he chose to make golf and poker and all those other things a priority over me and chose not to incorporate me into his life in a bigger way, then, you know, maybe that's something I then have to look for another avenue. Maybe I don't feel like I have to be in this relationship forever because of the fact that, you know, he's not my happiness. It wasn't like this scare thing of, oh, my God, I need to control him or else I'm not going to be able to get what I want. I was very centered within myself and knew that I was in a place of self-love, and my self-love did not come from him. Did that make sense?
That makes total sense, Christy.
Okay.
And you're making me think of an example, you know, as a parent, there were so many times where I would be in a power struggle with, you know, say my oldest son, and he'd be in his room and I'd be in mine, and I'd, you know, my little alter ego of, you know, well, he better come to me, and you know, he's the one that disrespected me, so he better, and I'd be locked in this, like, what I expected of him. My expectation of him was so great that he should have never, and now he should, and you know, I guess when I was asking you that, I was thinking in my own mind, what allowed me to eventually just release all of those expectations was a question that I would ask myself, like, are you happy? Okay, you're over here pouting in your bedroom at a great power struggle standoff, and are you happy? And I'd think, no, I'm miserable right now. I'm right, but I'm miserable. And so it was like, I always came back to, okay, do you want to be right? Or do you really just want to be content right now? And my answer was always very clear. You know, I really just want to be content. And so from that perspective, you know, it's like that controlling where somebody else should be, no matter how right we think we are, controlling what we think they should be doing really oftentimes leads us to our misery. It leads to power struggles and standoffs. And I can say that, you know, in my mind, there's so many times where I'd be sitting in my room and I would think, I'd rather be content. So, you know, my contentment means that I have to just let him be, you know, a preteen boy, or let him be a teenager, or let him be wherever he is right now in his development, and just love him. You know, he's just doing what kids do, and let him, you know, let him be where he is. And I can tell you so many times that the minute I would change my thinking, within literally 5 minutes, he would be doing what I originally wanted him to do, which is knocking on my bedroom door and saying, "Hey, Mom, I'm sorry. I don't want to be here with you. You know, I want us to be happy." You know, and I think, boy, I've been waiting forever for this, but it was really that switch in my mind that moved me into just allowing him to be where he is and really allowing us to be where we are, even if that meant, well, in a not-so-fun place. And it's sort of like, gosh, you can almost feel things start to move again instead of that locked-in position. So I'm thinking, you know, with you and Frederick, it's the same thing. Had you been locked into, well, he better, you know, if he thinks I'm going to sit around all weekend, all that would end up doing is, I would think, putting him in resistance and you in resistance, and the end of that equation is misery. So
absolutely, and that's what a lot of us seem to forget, is that, you know, the energy that you hold about a person, they can feel it, and it affects them. And, you know, one of the ways to kind of change a situation, I'll just give you an example of my previous partner. I remember feeling very much like waking up one morning and just feeling just, I was so in this crappy mood, and I was just, I was really getting into the law of attraction at that point. And I remember thinking, he's not doing this, and he's not doing that, and God, is he pissing me off, and I can't believe he did this, and blah, 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 blah. And I stopped myself in mid-thought, and I went, what are you attracting? You're going to attract more of this. You need to stop and start thinking of his positive aspects. And I did just that. I sat down for 5 minutes and wrote out all of his wonderful positive aspects, and he had many, and started, you know, really, really getting in that vibration of, wow, he really is a good guy, and, you know, he really does mean well, and really back in that place of detached from what he's doing, and that place of allowing, and it allowed me to come back to my happiness. And once I did, I left the house, and I was a pharmaceutical rep at that time, and I went into my first office. I came out, and there was a message on my cell phone, and it was from him, and he said, you know, "Hey, sweetie, I would love to take you out for a surprise tonight." And he said, "Just be ready around, you know, 6 o'clock. And I thought, well, that is interesting, because literally within an hour's time frame, things just amazingly shifted. And when I came home that night, he came home with a dozen red roses, took me out to dinner, and took me to see the movie The Notebook, which was a total chick flick, which he knew I wanted to see. But it was just amazing to me that just by that shift in perception, just by that, you know, not carrying that resistance and just allowing him to be in the mood he was in and not taking it on, it just totally freed everything up. He felt free to be in his life, which allowed me to be free in my life. And, you know, what I always say is we should on each other. We got to stop shitting on each other.
Right. And I think the thing is, really, from a very selfish perspective, that's why we allow other people to be where they are. Even though they reap the benefits of it, it's very selfish, because when we allow them to be where they are, we end up really getting truly what we wanted in the first place. Much easier.
Yeah.
So your example and mine really do illustrate what that's about. I mean, if we want to think of it from, again, a very greedy, selfish perspective, if you allow your partner to be exactly as they are and have the freedom to be where they are, they usually will work so much harder for you and give you what you want. So that really is the point of allowing your partner to be where they are, because it really is all about me and my world. So, and I think, you know, sooner or later, your listeners were going to get there with me, and they were going to realize that it's just really all about me. So, but Christy, I think there's something that I was thinking of as we were talking, is the law of allowing, besides, you know, allowing, you know, our intentions to be as they are and allowing the universe to be as it is and allowing our partners and our children and all of our relationships to be as they are, don't you think the greatest place we apply the law of allowing is with ourselves? Allowing
Absolutely.
Ourselves to be exactly as we are, such as we are. You know, in my practice, I've been working with so many women, and I think that even though they will learn how to be very detached and surrendered with, oh, everything in their worlds, when it comes to themselves, they have very clear expectations, and those expectations are so critical. But I will tell you what, I know you work with your coaching clients too on this issue, and really this is just one of the biggest shifts I've seen women make, is when they begin to practice allowing themselves to be exactly as they are and loving themselves exactly as they are. And I know you and I,
Absolutely.
Christy, both do workshops on that, and we're writing the book on that. So it's just truly been one of the just hugest shifts I've seen women make when they practice the law of allowing on themselves. So as we're walking through our day and we do something silly, or we catch ourselves, you know, making mistakes or looking a certain way or saying certain things, and then we just come back and go, well, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, I'm just allowing myself to be a human being in my human experience. There's such tremendous freedom that comes with that, and I've really just watched in many of my women clients, like, they smile more, and they're actually laughing more and giggling, and it's almost like, my gosh, you're enjoying your life. You're actually enjoying yourself. Do you find that
Absolutely.
Also, Christy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing to see the clients that just absolutely shift. And one of the things that I always say is that, you know, your whole entire outer reality is a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself. And I say that whenever I start a new coaching client, whether it's a group or one-on-one, and they all kind of go, heh, you know, and at one point, it's like it clicks for them, and then they ask me the question. It's like, well, how do you love yourself? And the way I can equate it, though, is like if someone was to go on a golf course, they've never played golf before, they've never picked up a club or anything, and they go on the golf course and they start swinging a golf club and trying to hit a golf ball. It's like we need to almost be taught how to love ourselves because we weren't ever taught. We don't know. We don't have that skill. And it's really something that is something you can learn, and when you apply it, it will make the biggest difference in your whole entire reality. And for the listeners that are out there, like I said, Rebecca and I are going to be doing a teleseminar series coming the end of September. And if you'd like to go onto my website, it's ChristyWhitman.com, and sign up for the newsletter, and I will be sending out my list information about that. We only allow 20 people to be on the call, so we keep it very short and intimate, and so everybody can get their questions answered, and it's going to be really a step-by-step process of what it means to love yourself and how to incorporate and really, really cultivate that self-love. But one of the things is, you're right, is allowing yourself to be who you are. I mean, it's my example of the other night. I was off. I felt myself being crabby, you know, with Frederick, and when I realized that, you know what, be within yourself and honor yourself and allow yourself to feel the feelings that you're feeling. And once I was able to do that, it was like, you know what, I'm feeling like this is off balance. I feel like I'm not a priority at this point. And when I got with myself and allowed myself to have those feelings and allow myself to have that clarity, that's when I was able to communicate it with my partner. And had I not done that, I probably would have kept snapping at him, and it probably would have, you know, caused an argument, and it would have went down a very unhealthy Yeah, it would have went down an unhealthy road. But this way I was able to come to him and say, these are what my needs are, and then just detach from what the result would be. But I at least allowed myself to feel where I was, and the result ended up being beautiful. And
and I think that happens with too many of us. We can allow, I think for a lot of us, we can allow everybody else to be where they are to a certain extent. But when it comes to ourselves, it's, oh, no. I expect perfection. Mm-hmm. I expect myself to be always on, always happy and content, always, you know, there's just this huge expectation. I think that leads to anxiety and depression. I mean, you know, who wants to be there? But to really let yourself just be who you are is such a gift. It is so much fun to be in your life being goofy and silly and dumb sometimes. You know, well, that was just a dumb thing to do. And to really just feel like, well, that's okay because I'm a human being having a human experience. And it's all part of being in this world and learning and making mistakes. And I say this to a lot of parents. You know, we are really masters at allowing our children to learn through their mistakes. You know, they fall down or they, you know, break something and we go, you know, are you learning something? Oops, you know, oops. it's okay, you know. I was saying to somebody the other day, when you were teaching your little girl how to walk, did you expect her to get up and start walking perfectly and then, you know, instantly, you know, get into a trot right after that? And she's like, of course not. And I said, do you remember how they would get up and then plop down on their little diapered bus? And we would be so sweet with them. We, you know, we would, oh, oops, you fell down. Get back up again. It's okay. But how often do we have that tone of voice with ourselves? How often do
right.
we say, it's okay, sweetheart. You were just crabby today. It's okay. Or, ooh, you were a little hysterical. Something scared you. You got a little hysterical. You can always go back and say, I'm sorry. You know, how many of us really speak very sweetly to ourselves, which stems from allowing ourselves to be within certain limits. I mean, I always say with certain limits, human beings. And I think that you're absolutely right. Things move through us so much faster when we're having that very loving tone. And the loving tone comes from allowing ourselves again to be where we are and to understand that, yeah, I'm crabby because that happened. I understand that now. And that's what happens when I get a little afraid or when I get hurt. Oops, you just fell down. Do better next time. But for most of us, we don't allow ourselves to be anything less than perfect. And I think, boy, that rigidity creates so much angst within ourselves and leads to so much more chaos and confusion. So I think the greatest place we can practice allowing is allowing ourselves to be just exactly as we are, such as we are. And sometimes that's just wonderful and smart and bright and right on. And other times we're tripping over ourselves and thinking, boy, I can't put two thoughts together. Oh, well, you know, such as
yeah.
it is. You know, this is my day, such as it is. So, yeah.
And it's taken it a step further, too. It's just, you know, it's I am that which I am. And that, and when I'm in that place and I'm accepting of who I am, you allow others to be which they are. Because what happens is we judge. And when we're in a place of judgment, we're in a very low-level emotion. Of course, when we're in a low-level emotion, we attract more of the same to us. So when we're judging either ourselves or another person, you know, you are going to have negative circumstances, situations, you know, come back to you. And one of the things is that we judge other people because we want them to change. And nobody has to be exactly the same way as you. We all don't have to think the exact same way, but it's almost like there's something within us that thinks, well, if they don't do and think and behave exactly the way I think they should, then maybe that means I'm wrong. Can you,
yes,
you want to talk about that?
Yes, I think we have a misperception about that. You hit on it earlier, Christy. When we mistakenly believe that our happiness, our contentment, our well-being comes from something outside of ourselves or something other than source, then we're going to be real controlling about that, right? If I really and that's kind of the game that we all play. We mistakenly believe that our well-being comes from our partner. So if he's not acting in a certain way, then I can't be happy. Well, then we're going to be very controlling to ensure that that person behaves in the way that makes us then feel. But that's really, it's really not correct thinking. When we remember that our well-being, our joy, our happiness, our peace of mind comes from within, and that nobody out, just nobody, not our children, not our partners, not our spouses, has the ability to dictate or direct our happiness, then they really become free because we're not trying to control, we're not trying to get them to be anything for a purpose, which is our happiness, because we're already happy. We're already connected to source. So, you know, that's a tough one because I think especially in our culture, especially Hollywood and romance and all of that is based on, boy, you know, I think you and I talk about this in our book, fairy tales. As early as fairy tales, we are really programmed and conditioned to believe that, boy, we're nothing until we meet Prince Charming. And so our happiness is contingent on finding him. Well, gosh, you know, if that's the case, if I'm not happy until I find him, I'm going to be really controlling about keeping him, and I'm going to be really controlling about him behaving in a way that ensures that he remains, you know, at, in a certain place. There's a certain expectation so that I can remain happy. It's sort of, I hope I'm making myself clear. But,
yeah, you are. I'm going to add her too, because men do that as well.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Oh, they get real invested in us being a certain way so that they can then feel something. And I think it really, again, we talked last week, but I really do believe it really comes down to feelings. I mean, we really want to control our world so that we will feel certain things, so that we will feel, oh, gosh, superior or smart or happy or, you know, content or peaceful or whatever, calm, whatever we want to feel. We then think we have to kind of control our outer world. But the truth is we have a choice to feel whatever we want to feel within. And again, that doesn't mean that if we're in an abusive relationship, we don't need to get out or, you know, there are certain things we actually do have to do. But I think some of those feelings like well-being and contentment and peace and, you know, happiness and joy, those really come from letting go of that need to control and just allowing things to be as they are. You know, I know for myself, I can say I'm never happier as when I'm in that space of surrender, when I'm more just like a wide-eyed child going, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. Well, I wonder what it's going to look like. I wonder, you know, where the path is going to take me rather than how I'm going to control the path. So, you know, it sounds a little childlike, but in many ways, it feels like such, you know, just it's truly been the places that I've been the happiest is when I'm surrendered and totally letting go and being with whatever is coming my way.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna wrap it up with how do you allow, and if you want to get some of this information, you can go to these 7EssentialUniversalLaws.com or ChristyWhitman.com or DivineManifesting.com. But how do you allow? You accept that this moment is as it is and not as you think it should be. You take responsibility for how you feel. You know that you have the ability to change how you feel. You can bring in any feeling within your body, and that is actually what is going to attract things to you is the way you feel. You can practice defenselessness. When you are defending your point of view, you are in resistance. It's kind of like Rebecca was talking about, you know, should I be right or should I be content? If you are defending your point of view and I am right, you are in a point of resistance and you are not allowing. Just remember, your energy is unlimited, and if you do not follow the path, if you now follow the path of non-resistance, you will experience happiness and bliss in your life, and your life will flow with ease and effortlessness. So release your intentions with detachment and trust in the process of the universe to give you what you need with ease and effortlessness, because that's all it is about, is that when we can just throw out our intentions, state what we want, be really clear on it, put ourselves in a good vibration, and just allow the universe to orchestrate everything it needs to orchestrate to bring everything into perfect alignment, that man that you want is going to be standing in the line and is going to turn down to you and say, would you like to be my partner? Or, you know, whatever it is, the exact same career that you want, or, you know, whatever it is, you've asked for it, as long as you're taking action to put yourself out there. Now, obviously, if I would have stayed in my house and would have thought, well, he's going to just knock on my door, that's not going to happen. You have to bring yourself out there. You have to take the action steps to allow yourself to be out there. But it's that balance of taking the action, having faith, and knowing that it's going to happen, and allowing the universe to bring it to you. Do you have any other final comments, Rebecca?
No, I think that was beautiful, Christy. I would really just ask the listeners to practice this. It's what we've been saying. There are concepts, but then there are action steps and practices that come in with it. And truly, you know, the art of surrender, the art of letting go is really a constant practice. It's something that I've been working on for over 15 years of my life, and diligently, I mean really purposefully, I have been working on every day letting go, surrendering. And I will say, though, that the more that you practice that art of allowing, letting go, and surrendering, truly, it is equated. I mean, your contentment is going to soar. Your sense of just well-being is going to soar. So I would say, you know, really, really challenge yourself every day to when you start to find yourself getting tense or when you start to find yourself in resistance, ask yourself, do I want to be content or do I really want to keep following this expectation and holding on to this expectation? And hopefully the answer is, let it go. Just be content. Just come back to contentment and let it be as it is. And I think that, you know, what the listeners will find is it really, in a very short time, you start to feel just unequivocal peace within. So practice allowing things to be just as they are. Your well-being will soar.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you to all the listeners. And if you want to get in contact with me, this is Christy Whitman. My email is it's Christy at ChristyWhitman.com. And that's C-H-R-I-S-T-Y at ChristyWhitman, W-H-I-T-M-A-N.com. And Rebecca, you want to give me your email address?
Yes, I'm Rebecca Grotto, G-R-A-D-O, at RebeccaGrotto.net. And you're welcome to email me or look me up on the web. So
okay,
I think Christy's site has a lot of information. So, and she and I are pretty much, you know, we have a lot of similar information in terms of our upcoming book and our workshop. So, you know, any information at this point, look for us on her website. I think that'd be the best place to go.
Okay, great. Well, thank you to all the listeners, and we'll be talking about the law of abundance and sufficiency next week. Thanks so much, and have a great day.
Okay.